Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. Wherever you may be listening on this Thanksgiving weekend, we welcome you to Talking.Golf alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. And Gary, this is likely going to be our last podcast of the year. I'm not going to promise anything. We might do a year ender at the end of December, just kind of looking back at the top stories. But Thanksgiving weekend, football, turkey. Any good traditions in your house, Gary, that mark this holiday weekend?
Falling asleep during the middle of the second football game, Rob, with a belly full of turkey. That's a good tradition. we're actually celebrating on Saturday this year, Rob, with a number of people from with my wife's family. So that's what we do every year, too. It's usually Saturday for us. So I guess you can call it a tradition. And you're in California, so it's going to be a little different for you. You've been in California in recent years.
Yeah, we did get our closing date on our house is January 5th. So this will be a kind of return to California for Thanksgiving. We've got still some family here, so that may continue to be a tradition. We haven't minded. I've been parked the last week here in North County of San Diego, and it's been beautiful. And but you know, again, I think in addition to the weather being what it is back in your neck of the woods, but golfers everywhere are succumbing to the fact that we're kind of to the shortest days of the year. So all of a sudden, you know, here we are working through the day, and I've been working on these junior rankings, and my wife's doing her stuff, and all of a sudden we get to about 3 o'clock, and we've only got an hour till sunset. We got to get out of the house here for a little bit, and that seems to be the plight of everybody. But Thanksgiving-wise, we'll get together tomorrow. Kind of like you, what is it, Bears Lions, the first game? Most of America will be asleep by noon. So, it'll be fun.
I read on Twitter someone posted that the Bears Lions game has been flexed to the Big Ten Network. I thought that was pretty good.
How about Nickelodeon? Remember with all the exploding paints and things that they would do?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were good options too. That might be where we need to have that game. But the reason we take December off from the podcast, folks, is because, you know, Gary D'Amato being the avid Black Friday shopper that he is, we can't guarantee he'll be physically around after Friday because of all the boxing out and the lunging at golf equipment over there at some of the golf outfitters in the Milwaukee area. Gary, are you planning to go out and take a look at Dennis McCann's list that we have on Wisconsin.Golf and see what you can find?
You know, Rob, I hate to admit this, but because I always swore I'd never be an online shopper, but as time goes on, I'm leaning more and more in that direction, Rob. It's so hassle-free. You don't have to fight the long lines. And I do like to support, you know, big box our businesses, especially small businesses. So I'll do a little bit of that, but I think I'm going to probably buy a lot of stuff online this year.
Well, and you had in the sweet spot to, before we get to Dennis's story, we're actually going to break down Dennis's list here because there's a lot of cool stuff on it. But I believe in Sweet Spot, was it this week or last week, you had a list of a lot of the real popular golf retailers. A lot of the clubs get together and have a clearance sale at this time of year in the Milwaukee area, the Appleton area, the Madison area. And so there's some of those going on. Those are always fun to check out and see if you can get some, you know, logoed Oneida Golf and Riding shirts or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll probably stop in at the Milwaukee County Parks one at Curry Park, which goes, I think, for a couple of weeks, actually. A lot of them are only, you know, Black Friday and the weekend or, you know, right, 4 or 5 days. But that one goes on for a couple of weeks, so I might check that one out.
University Ridge also has had a
kind of an end of the year sale going on. And so a lot of things that, you know, you can do independent of having to battle the traditional big box lines to try to find your gear. But Gary, as we look at Dennis McCann's 18 things to on the holiday list, the annual golf guide, holiday gift guide on Wisconsin.golf, a couple of things jump out. And the first one on this list is the Sky Caddy Smart Golf Watch. And what we're going to do here, Gary, is we're going to say yay or nay. Do you want it under your tree if you had the option? I'm going to say yay on the Sky Caddy watch. I just got a new rangefinder. Precision Golf had a relatively inexpensive one that was on sale, and it serves the purpose. But boy, I like the looks of this watch, especially with the outlines of the holes.
Yeah, I would say yay on that one too. I've had rangefinders in the past. I fumble with them though, Rob. I'm not very good with them. And I grew up, you know, like a lot of guys who grew up playing with before the age of rangefinders, you know, just looking at sprinkler heads and trying to figure out I'm not good enough with, if it's 162 or 164, you know, to the pin, that doesn't mean anything to me. I'm just trying to get it somewhere on the green from 164 yards. So, but you know, more power to guys who rely on those, and it looks like a cool gadget, and I'd like to just at least try it.
I've played with a couple from Minnesota that just moved to our community in Arizona during the winter months, and they both have these watches. And I mean, the neat thing about the watches is it's to right where you are. And I think it's fascinating. I'm not a watch wearer, though. That's the problem. And I wonder if, you know, comfort-wise, watch on the left hand over the golf glove might be a little bit of something I'd have to battle through. But, you know, first world problems, right, Gary D'Amato?
Yeah, exactly. They're not worried about that in a lot of places in the world. That is definitely a first world problem.
So we're going to say yay to the the Sky Caddy LX5 Smart Golf Watch. So if you're scoring at home, that's one for both of us. The second item on Dennis's list is one that probably you and I could make with clubs that we've damaged over the years. Golf iron hat rack. You know, the first guy I thought of when I saw this was our former colleague, the golf writer at the Capital Times for many years, Rob Schultz. he could have built one of these just with clubs that he damaged during GMO media days alone. And it's a hat rack with irons. I love this idea.
I do too, Rob, except for me, you know, being a hat, needing to wear a hat, obviously people who know me and know that I don't have much hair, if any at all, I need hats. And so I've got a closet full of them. So my hat rack would have to be about, you know, it would have to have about 70 clubs in it to hold on my hat. So this wouldn't be very practical for me. I just kind of store them on top of each other in the closet.
That's a good point. So we're going to say yay for me, especially moving in a new house. I'm trying to get as many golf-related items as I can. I think it would look good in my office, to be honest with you. Let's go yay for both of us. Each put our four, it looks like we can get four hats on this thing, maybe. You know, these hats these days are kind of big and bulky, and they don't bend easily. So I'm not sure that we'd have to space out those irons more than the one in the picture. But yeah, let's go yay on this one. We could both use that. The Stay Soft Winter Golf Gloves, an automatic nay for me in Arizona. If I tried wearing this in the summer, my hand would sweat to high heaven. But I'm guessing, Gary, that maybe this might be something that could come in handy for you.
Yeah, I would say yay to this one, Rob. I'm still hoping to get, you know, one more round in before the snow flies here. And that would be something that I would definitely use. You know, I always wear one glove, but having two gloves and having your hands a little warmer would definitely help on one of those 42 degree days.
I will say this, they've taken the winter golf glove concept, especially this is a FootJoy, and they've always been at the forefront of golf gloves and golf shoes. But, you know, I've had golf, these kind of gloves that are just kind of, you know, warmer gloves. This has the leather apparently on the palms and the fleece on the top. I think it's really taken this concept to a new level.
Yeah, I agree. This is something I would definitely put in my golf bag. In fact, I might go and buy it there.
All right, next on the list, the Blue Tees Golf Series 3 Max Rangefinder. We talk a little bit rangefinders with the golf watch. Gary, I don't need pink rangefinders. I don't need blue rangefinders. I do have the one that I got is a lime green or a fluorescent yellow, I guess is what you'd call it. What is your litmus test for rangefinders when people ask you about them? I know you mentioned that, you know, they're hard for you to use, but if you're recommending a rangefinder, what are some of the boxes you can check? I'm gonna say no to this. I've already got one, but it's not that I wouldn't gladly accept one if it showed up under the tree.
Yeah, I don't really, you know, I don't really need one. I mean, I played golf all my life without one. I've had rangefinders. I've got one right now. I forget to bring it to the course. That's how important it is to me, Rob. It's sitting in my office. And for sure, if I had one, I wouldn't need the slope and all the gadgets that go with some of the more expensive ones. Probably just a very small, compact one that just gave me the yardage. That's all I would need. How about you?
Well, the neat thing about the one that I just got is the one I had was my daughter's old Bushnell, and it lasted for about, gosh, close to 10 years, which I think is pretty good when you're talking about something that gets banged around in the bottom of a golf bag or you know, gets tossed in and out of a golf cart. That one didn't vibrate when you were on the actual target. And so I like the one that I got now with the vibration that when it locks in on what you're looking at. I still find it clunky to try to get one that actually sees the flag and not like a tree behind the green. And, you know, again, sometimes you don't have a whole lot of time to dick around with a measuring device. And so, they've come a long way, but certainly the one that vibrates when you're locked in on the target is one that I would go with.
Yeah, I should have added that a couple of years ago. I was fortunate enough to play in the Century Tournament Champions Pro-Am with Graham McDowell. And he chided me for not having a rangefinder a couple times. And then at the end of the round, you know, we chatted a little bit and we talked about my game, and he gave me a couple tips that might, you know, help me improve. And then he said, "And Gary, go out and buy yourself a rangefinder. You got to have one." So I probably should have listened to him.
he's a Ryder Cup vice captain, man. G-Mac, yeah. You got to listen to him. Right. You got to listen to him.
Right.
The next item is going to be a must in our new garage, and that's a golf bag organizer. The one that is featured in Dennis's story here on Wisconsin.golf with the 18 ideas for golfers on your list has two golf bags. I could possibly use one, Gary, that stores five. I don't think my wife would like that because that would take up half of a wall of a garage. And as you know, in the warmer weather places without basements, that storage area is precious. But this one certainly does the trick. Two golf bags, three pairs of golf shoes, a little basket for golf balls, and then that little area there where you can store all your spare wedges and putters. I like the idea. Sign me up. I'll take one of these.
I'll say no to this one, Rob. My organizer is the crawl space in my basement where I have, I'm ashamed to admit this, about 10 or 12 golf bags full of junk. Most of it I'll never use again, probably sell it at a rummage sale or give it away. So yeah, if I had an organizer like this, it would have to be 30 feet long, and you know that isn't going to go over well. So I say no to this one. I've got organized chaos in my basement, Rob.
I should ask before we go any further, does Dee Dee listen to the podcast ever?
I'll make sure she doesn't hear this one. Why?
Gina doesn't listen unless it's suggested that she might want to give a listen. So.
Right.
Please, people, don't ruin Christmas for Gary and myself. Okay.
That's right.
We can think big. The next one's kind of cute, the amateur golf visor with the word amateur on the top. There's a lot of words that you could put on a golf visor and embroidery that would describe us as hack golfers. Maybe hack golfer would be a good one, but I thought this was pretty funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Yeah. Hacker is a little too demeaning, you know, even though that might describe me more accurately than amateur, but might have to say quasi-amateur or something like that. I'm not even good enough to be an amateur, but I do like the hat. I think it's cute. And I don't know if I would wear this, though. I would get it as a gay gift for maybe a golfer friend of mine, but I don't know if I would personally wear it if I got one.
Well, and then it brings up the other point. You talked about, you know, you're a big hat wearer, but for those of us who are getting up there in years, and there might be some patches of bald on the top, visors really don't do it for us anymore, do they, Gary?
No, I've got to have full protection, Rob. The bigger the hat, the better for me.
All right, the FootJoy Women's Quarter Zip. I think maybe if our wives do get hold of this podcast, this might be something that we could use to kind of maybe balance the equation. I know that we've got some great FootJoy pullovers from Sarah Starmer and Megan Augustine, our marketing folks here at Wisconsin.golf, and they're some of the best pullovers I've ever had. Style and durability, you can't go wrong with FootJoy.
No, all we need to do is put our logo on those, and I would snap them up, Rob. Yeah, you can't have too many of those quarter zips. I probably got 10 of them in my closet, and probably half of them have our logos on it. So, yeah, with quarter zips, the more the merrier for me. Perfect on those 58-degree days.
Absolutely. Next up is Galloway Bay's line of all-weather gear. It's the all-weather short-sleeve rain jacket. Now, I'll say no to this, but only because through my daughter's old golf coach at UW Stout, I've got a great pullover, actually two of them, where the sleeves unzip, and you can convert a long sleeve rain pullover into a short sleeve. So I'm taken care of, but I'm guessing, Gary, you must play a fair amount of golf in the rain. Sometimes the rain comes when you least expect it, and you got to have one of these in your bag too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, couple things about rainwear and this type of thing, Rob, is that someone in the apparel business told me a couple of years ago that over the years, if you've got a rain jacket, they lose their effectiveness to repel rain. I didn't know that. So I guess there's planned obsolescence in rain jackets, so you keep having to spend $300 on a rain jacket. But these things are expensive. I mean, it's no joke. If people have shopped, if our listeners have shopped for rain jackets for golf, they're not cheap. I've got one that's several years old, and I'm hoping that next time I wear it, the rain doesn't pour through it. Then this guy's right about they lose their effectiveness.
Well, you're not kidding about the cost, but you know, again, you get what you pay for. I can remember back, it must have been in the late 80s, early 90s. I won like $100 of shop credit at Grand Geneva, and that, you know, at that time, you probably could have bought a golf, you know, at least a putter or something for that price. And yeah. I went with the rain gear, and I think I still had to pay $15 out of my own pocket. And it's like golf shoes. I mean, you know, you'd think they would last forever, but you know, the second that you get, you know, all of a sudden that rain saturating through the golf shoe and your socks wet for the rest of the round, you're kicking yourself for being such a, you know, a thrifty shopper and not opening up the purse strings and upgrading the equipment. This is something I think you need to, you know, update every, I don't know what, 5 to 10 years, but this little short sleeve rain jacket here from Galloway Bay seems to be pretty stylish and pretty flexible with the you know, with those short sleeves. So we'll add that to the maybe down the road list once the current model that I have wears out. Speaking of jackets, FootJoy's sport wind shirts. This kind of looks like something that this may be what Sarah's got for us in that Wisconsin.golf logo. It kind of has that, you know, it's got the pockets, it's got the quarter zip, and it looks, you know, again, especially late in the season, early in the season, if it's good weather temperature wise, it usually comes with wind in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Rob, I always like getting that box of goodies from Sarah. With our logo stuff, apparel, hats, and the like. And so hopefully this is a handsome thing. If people haven't checked out Dennis's column, they should go to Wisconsin.golf, check it out. This is a pretty handsome item here, and I would definitely wear this, no doubt.
Next item on Dennis's list is the putt-out putting mat and training cup. I don't know, Gary D'Amato, if you've resorted much to the use of putting tools to try to improve the hardest part of anybody's golf game. You know, we had for a lot of years, apparently before I arrived even at Killarney Golf, and they did some of the golf shows, so these putt pads, you've seen me use them as mouse pads, but the putt pads actually work. I used them when I was coaching my high school team in California, and gave each of the girls last spring one of these, and you know, you put lines down on a practice green, and you really eyeball where you're taking back your putter and where it's coming back through. It helps. And this device seems to take care of a number of different things, both in terms of the alignment back, you know, kind of north and south towards the cup, but also the east and west, making sure that that ball stays online.
Yeah. You know, Rob, I keep all stats of my golf, my horrible golf game the way it is. And putting has been my Achilles heel. I used to be a decent putter when I was young, like most of us. And for some reason, I've become a bad putter over the years. And I've actually resorted to Rob. I'm taking a couple lessons from a teaching professional in the area here recently named Paul Mindel. Do you know Paul?
I know Paul, yeah.
Worked with Lorenzo Martinez and worked with some good juniors.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Paul's advocating heads up putting, where you look at the hole while you putt. And I've been trying that. I tried it in the last round I played. I'm practicing it. I'm doing anything I can, no matter how weird it might look to other people, to improve my putting. And so anything that would help me improve, including a putting mat, sign me up.
Well, there you go. So we'll add that to both of our trees or our stockings for Christmas. As we continue down Dennis McCann's list of the 18 golf or holiday gift guide, 18 ideas for the golfers on your list. This one, absolutely not. Any face personalized golf ball. I have a golf ball someone gave me. It's a yellow golf ball with when he gave them to me, one was Barry Alvarez's face, and I think one was Pat Richter's. And I was a Badger fan. And, you know, I can't hit a golf ball with someone's face on it, Gary. Can we? Who would you and I possibly put on a golf ball and think that it was okay to hit that thing, 200, 300 yards?
Well, if you don't like the person, you put the face so that the driver connects with it. And if you like the person, you turn it so the face is outwards and you just give them a nice ride. But I couldn't use this either, Rob, because if I slice one with my face on it into the woods and someone finds this, says, D'Amato hit his drive 180 yards straight right in the woods. Who's with this guy? So I would say no to this one.
Yeah, it's bad enough. I still have a couple of personalized golf balls left from 99 that Wilson gave us with our names on it, Gary. I'm not putting those into circulation for the same reason that you just mentioned. We don't need any evidence out there in the places that you and I hit the golf ball.
Sure.
Custom ball marker and divot tool. I can never get enough of these because A, I'm always losing them, and B, nobody else seems to ever replace divots on greens. Do you ever get that feeling?
I do, Rob, but you know what? I'm kind of a hoarder when it comes to golf stuff like this, and I've got a box in my closet, Rob. I probably have 200 of these ball marker and divot tool things, stretching back years and years. I definitely don't need another one, but if someone wanted to give me one, I'd put it in that box of keepsakes, but I've got a ton of these things.
All right. And the next one, we have to recommend to Sarah and to Megan, the next Wisconsin.golf item that we need to have and available for people to purchase is the Heritage Golf Bundle, but it's essentially the leather scorecard holder from Heritage. Everybody, you watch on TV, and everybody that doesn't have a caddy, especially amateur, U.S. amateurs, Western amateurs, state amateurs, college golf for sure, has these leather scorecard holders in the back pocket. LPGA Tour is famous for them too.
Yeah,
I saw Casey Danielson with her Stanford one, and some of the photos of her, from the Symetra Tour season. We need a Wisconsin.golf scorecard holder, no question about it.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I've gotten by my whole life without one. I see nothing wrong with folding a scorecard and putting it in your back pocket, but it does look, it is a nice item. And I would use this if someone gave this to me for Christmas. I would definitely use this. And tell us, Sarah, to get on this, Rob, and get us our logo, Wisconsin.golf scorecard holders.
All right, we're gonna see. I think we've got another call, our weekly staff call on Monday. Let's see how close our marketing department listens to Wisconsin.golf. This will be a test.
There you go.
And not only is this a scorecard holder, but you can put your yardage book in here too if you're into that. I yardage books to me, Gary, are like the like a foreign language dictionary. I can't understand them. So I don't need them in my back pocket. I'll continue to walk off yardage or use one of those many, the watch or the rangefinder that I eventually will have here shortly. The Shamrock leather head cover. I think this would look awfully great in Jerry Kelly's golf bag because he's my favorite Irish golfer. But it's one of those head covers, Gary. Head covers have kind of evolved like basketball shorts in the NBA. They start small. They got bigger. Now it looks like we're going small again. And I've seen a lot of these quote unquote vintage head covers, and the Shamrock leather one. You'd think it would bring you good luck, but what do you think of the look of these kind of vintage head covers?
I love it. I just bought one, Rob, at the Ryder Cup that has the, you know, the Ryder Cup logo on it and a little sheep on the side of it. It's yellow and it's got like a cheese head motif kind of. Absolutely. And I've got a yellow golf bag. So it matches my bag and it looks really sharp. I love these head covers. They're really good looking.
Yeah, absolutely. The Phoenix golf travel bag, Gary, I think this is for you and Jim Kelch. Because anything that reminds you, you need to get to Phoenix with golf clubs, I'm all for. I just bought a golf bag, a travel bag, not too long ago. I haven't used it yet, but that's for when I'm coming back to Wisconsin. I know that you and I are going to have a high-stake match. I'm going to bring my own clubs, but I think you need this Phoenix golf travel bag and an airline ticket to get to Phoenix with the golf travel bag.
I'll take both, Rob. And actually, I do need a golf travel bag. I've got one, but I've had it for 20 years. It's starting to wear out. And I'm planning to go to Scotland and Ireland with 15 guys in September next year. So this is something I definitely actually need to buy one of these. And this is a good looking one, too. But do you go for the hard case or the soft case, Rob?
Good question. Mine has always been the soft case, but lately, I've seen tale of woe on the internet and elsewhere, and I think I went with a kind of a soft bottom case, but a hard case or a hard covering on top. It's the snapping of the head of the club heads that bothers me, especially on the driver. Yeah. And as expensive as they are. So I believe the one that's in the box back at home is kind of a combination with, good protection at the top of the bag and then, kind of more of a soft cover at the bottom. So if you need a travel bag, that means you need the Athletico golf shoe bag. And I'm not sure how you are about shoe bags. I see this one also has compartments for golf balls and golf tees, which isn't a bad thing. My first ever golf shoe bag was one from the old Andy North Rayovac Invitational. And I think it wound up missing the cut in our latest move to Arizona, but it was still in fine shape. Golf shoe bags don't ever get old, do they, Gary? They get smelly, but they don't get old.
That's right. Yeah, I've got a few of these too, Rob. I keep one in my trunk. But you know what? That's what a trunk in a car is for me. I throw my golf shoes in my trunk, and I don't really need one of these. And my golf carry bag and any one I buy in the future has the side pockets for shoes, and that's where I would store them when I travel. So it's a nice item. Would I turn it down if someone bought it for me? No, I would probably find use for it, but I wouldn't go buy it for myself for me.
Gary D'Amato, the women's coat of arms golf cap may not be for you and me, but certainly for our better halves. So we will surprise you, surprise BD, I'll surprise Gina, and we'll sneak this into the stocking. And last but not least, we go to the golf audio system. And I tell you, if there's one trend that I've noticed lately in golf, it's the wireless speakers, especially where I live, where it's all golf cart travel. People are finding different places to put them on the golf cart. And the neat thing is you can contain the noise in some of these things to within the golf cart. So it's not like, Rodney with, his thing out of the golf bag in Caddyshack. But, to me, there's nothing wrong with a little music in the background of a golf round.
Yeah, this is something I never thought I would be interested in, Rob, but I in a golf outing this summer, I won a Wingman, and I've used it, and I find it to be quite pleasurable to play golf with a little music, especially you stream Pandora or something through Bluetooth, stream your favorite music, and it's I've played some golf this summer with music for the first time in my life, and I've really enjoyed it.
I just picked one up at Media Day for the Charles Schwab Cup Championship back in, I believe it was October. And they had those as a kind of a tea gift, and haven't used it yet, but do plan to, because obviously we've got the golf cart thing, but I have to learn how to maybe better and more seamlessly use Bluetooth first. But so once I get that figured out, Gary, I'll be rocking the country tunes. So I hope I'm not a bother when you guys come down to play.
No, it'll be fun no matter what. I can always wear earplugs if I don't like the music.
That's right. That's right. Well, there you go. That's the 2021 Holiday Gift Guide. Major shout out to Dennis McCann. He always comes up with some great things. And as he said on our call this week, Gary, he'll take one of each. And he wears, a size large? So on the clothing. So you know, even golfers, golf fans, you know, we can't get enough golf stuff for Christmas, can we?
No, I absolutely not, Rob. There is not a limit. I would never put a limit on anyone buying gifts for me. The more the merrier. I'll find a use for just about anything that you can use to play golf with or watch golf or anyhow, I would use almost anything on this list. Some things, as we said, I wouldn't buy for myself, but if someone bought it for me, I'd put it to use.
So that is, and by the way, this is what's up here on talking.golf, powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf. Again, we've had some interesting stuff on the site here the last couple of weeks, but specifically in the last few days, a few more college commitments, a couple to UW Green Bay, Max Rice out of West Appear, and Trent Meyer out of Northwestern High School in Maple, Wisconsin. And we've got one coming up here soon on Sophie Pokela of Toma. Interesting story, Gary, to tease this one. Sophie visited five schools, two in South Dakota, both in Sioux Falls, two in Minnesota, one in Iowa, was also considering a couple of Division III schools in Wisconsin. And so she thoroughly canvassed the upper Midwest, and she's going to go to Augustana University in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Really good. There aren't many Division II programs in our part of the country in the upper Midwest that can move the needle. Augustana on the women's side is one of them. Sioux Falls had been. They lost their coach, though, that had kind of elevated the program after a three-year stint. Stability in coaching, as we've talked about before, always an issue. But, you know, I believe it's 10 out of the last 11 years and 12 out of the last 14, Augustana's won the Northern Sun Intercollegiate Conference. So a good program there. And then Sophie's going to be joined by Lainey Vienendahl out of New Richmond. So, again, another Division II program with great recruiting success in the state of Wisconsin. And Gary, as we also talk about what's up, you had a couple of interesting things in the sweet spot. Steve Stricker, even though he didn't play a lot in 2021, he is on the top of the list that the PPR. I always love the PPR, because then you got to tell people, what's the PPR? It's the Power Performance Rankings. And he is number one, even though Phil Mickelson is 4-for-6 in starts. How does this work with Steve Stricker being number one in this power ranking?
Yeah, it's an unofficial ranking of PGA Tour champions players, because the PGA Tour doesn't do its own ranking, and there's no world ranking for senior golfers. So this is done by a woman named Kathy Bissell. She's a golf writer, and she's very knowledgeable, and she follows the tour, the senior tour, the Champions Tour very closely. And so she ranks. This is a ranking system based on a one-year performance. So as soon as a tournament is played, that previous year's tournament is thrown out, and there's a point system based on your performance, you know, over one exactly 52 weeks. So that's why Phil isn't number one. I mean, we all know that he probably would be number one if there was a world ranking for senior golfers. He would certainly be at the top, but he hasn't played in enough tournaments, and so he hasn't piled up enough points in this ranking system. And Steve, you know, didn't even play in the Charles Schwab Cup Championship. Boy, that's a mouthful. But you know, he's played enough times over the last year that he's piled up enough points. And so now he's going to have to keep playing, and we anticipate that he'll play in quite a few Champions Tour events, hopefully this next year.
Absolutely. You also mentioned that he's number three on the list by Morning Read columnist John Hawkins as the number three golfer of the Tiger, I'm sorry, number three putter of the Tiger Woods generation, other than Woods, behind Brad Faxon and Corey Pavin. What do you think of that list and Steve's place on it?
I might put him a little higher. I mean, Brad Faxon, everyone knows he's a great putter, and Corey Pavin too, for that matter. But boy, Steve, you know, between the years, well, really when he got on tour, but especially in that time that he made his big comeback after his slump, he was such a great putter. And I think, you know, as John Hawkins pointed out in the story, when Tiger has a putting question or an issue, he doesn't go to Corey Pavin or Brad Faxon, he goes to Stricker. So I think that says a lot about what Tiger respects, how much Tiger respects Stricker's putting ability. I'd put him number one, actually, behind Woods in the Tiger Woods era.
And behind Stricker on that list, Jordan Spieth, Greg Norman, David Toms, former Greater Milwaukee Open champion Lauren Roberts, and Justin Leonard. We know that Lauren Roberts really liked the greens at Brown Deer Park, Gary. There's no question about it, but he was good on any putting surface.
Boss of the Moss. Yeah, he was a great putter. You know, I followed him during several rounds during the GMO. Robin, he never hit it great. I mean, he wasn't long off the tee, and he was a little wild, and he didn't, you know, he wasn't a great ball striker, but he more than made up for it on the greens. And he had you're right. He had a lot of success at Brown Deer Park.
So that's what's up, powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf. And you are listening to Talking.Golf, which is sponsored by Iron Jock, advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. And Gary D'Amato, I guess we should have prefaced our talk about Dennis McCann's 18 things on your holiday guide for golfers by saying that, you know, anything you get at Iron Jock and ironjock.com, that's ironjoc.com, is worth getting under the tree. You can never have enough of Iron Jock shirts for those warm summer months in Wisconsin. When the humidity comes out, it gets sticky, the wind doesn't blow, and there's not a breath of air. Iron Jock makes it all comfortable. So I wanted to say that.
I hear you, Rob. I know the practice station in New Berlin, which we've talked about on our show and I've written about, Iron Jock apparel is sold there, and they're having a Black Friday sale. So if you're interested in Iron Jock, that'd be a good time to go check it out at the practice station in New Berlin.
Outstanding. What's next? Powered by our Twitter results handle at wis.golflive. We had a few results from PGA Tour champions qualifying over the weekend. Mario Tiziani advances. Ben Walter and Michael Crowley do not. They missed by two shots, but all of them really excited by the way that they played. And of course, Mario with a chance to now play the lottery in the final stage of Q School here next month down in Florida. Only five spots, Gary D'Amato, for that for the PGA Tour champions. But as we talked about last week, it's kind of the nature of the beast there. In terms of what's next, you're working on a cool story on a woman named Carol Funnikin, and that name may not be familiar to Wisconsin golf fans, but if I tell people that it's part of your golf Wisconsin Golf Legends series, they'll probably be interested to hear who Carol Funnikin was and what she did, not only in Wisconsin, but basically worldwide. She was a legend. This might be the biggest legend of your legend series.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know much about Carol going into it. Someone emailed me, one of her fans from Janesville, that's Carol's hometown, and told me you ought to look into doing one of your legend stories on her. And when I did look into it, she had a marvelous career, Rob. She just turned 79. She lives outside Denver. She's lived in Colorado since 1966. So, you know, you'd have to be 70 years old, sort of, in Wisconsin to know about her. But she won a girls junior in the state. Then she won four match play titles, women's match play titles. She won the Western women's junior. She won the Western amateur. She won the U.S. junior girls. She made a Curtis Cup team and made the clinching putt to give the U.S. the Curtis Cup. And then she on that same trip, she went over to England and became the youngest winner ever of the British ladies amateur, now called the British women's amateur. And then she was the co-medalist in the inaugural World Team Golf Championships in Paris. Then she went back to Denver and proceeded to win 25 major titles in Colorado and was named Colorado Golfer of the Century. So that's a pretty good resume right there, Rob.
You know, it's always hard when you start these series. You're going to come across a legend or somebody that personifies the series, and I think Carol does. And you know, there's a lot of names as we look back in the history of Wisconsin golf. I mean, we both started covering golf in the 1980s, I think it was. And a lot of names that preceded our time on the beat, so to speak, that we just don't know. I mean, but yet you can see, you know, the impact they had on golf. And clearly she was one of those that really laid the foundation for the great women's golfers that we have today.
Absolutely. You know, she played in the first state girls championship when she was 11 years old. And I talked to Jill Levenhagen, our good friend Jill, who was 5 years older than Carol. And Jill said, she just was this delightful little girl. And she said, then she swung the club and we were all like, whoa. And we were all intimidated by her. Us 17 and 18 year olds were intimidated by this 11 year old because her father was named Ted Sorensen. And he was an athletics director and coached the boys golf team at Janesville, which was only one high school, I think, back then.
Correct.
Bob, Janesville, yep. High school. I think he won a couple state titles, but he put a golf club in her hand at age six, and he taught her everything out of Byron Nelson's book, Winning Golf, and people said she swung it just like Byron Nelson, which is a pretty high compliment.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it. So that story coming up here over the weekend on Wisconsin.golf, and it kind of segues nice into what's next also on my plate. And I've spent a number of weeks now trying to get the all the statistical work done on our annual rankings project for the Junior Golf series that we do. And Gary, when you talk about, you know, Carol and you know, some of the things that she won, you know, she would be a no-brainer number one in her class back in the day. It's much harder today. And the thing that I've to tease what we're doing, we'll kick it off Monday with a column that kind of talks about trends and things that we're seeing among junior golfers, because, you know, there's no right or wrong way to try to get to a goal. And for a lot of the kids, many of the kids is playing junior golf or college golf and using all these great opportunities at the junior level. But, you know, for a number of others, it's just simply, you know, playing to get ready for their high school season, or playing, you know, to when you have time in the summer. You know, speaking of Janesville, there's a girl in the class of 2024, Maya Nicholson, who didn't play at all during the summer, because she's a top basketball player in the state as well, and that's her number one sport. And then she missed, she lost in a playoff at the sectional to a girl from Kettle Moraine High School for the final spot at state. So she literally, you know, kind of for my rankings formula, had two, you know, the regional and the sectional to go on, and didn't play it at all the rest of the summer. But we know that she's very good. And kind of like you go back in time to Martha Richards, the former state champion golfer out of Hudson, who also played basketball, and she wound up going to Stanford for a few years and playing both sports there. And so you've got those kind of kids, and we're seeing, you know, I love multi-sport kids, Gary, but we're seeing a lot of different trends in terms of, you know, just how, you know, these kids are attacking golf. And, you know, now that we came out of COVID, we had a full complement of tournaments. The boys had their state high school tournament, and then a tournament you'll remember well from your days at the Racine Journal Times, the Wisconsin Junior Masters was back on the calendar too. And that's a fun one to, you know, include in the evaluation, Gary, because you have two rounds of stroke play, you know, playing into, you know, four or five rounds of match play. And it's a great litmus test on how good these kids are.
Well, I always look forward to your rankings, Rob, because I learned so much about the juniors coming up, because I don't have my finger on the pulse of junior golf nearly like you do. And so I appreciate how much work you put into it, and I know our readers do. And so this is something that I know people are – it's going to be very popular, and people can't wait till your rankings come out.
And again, the neat thing too, Gary, is that, you know, these kids that we're covering that you're seeing, you know, if you're seeing junior kids in tournaments that you're covering, it means that they're challenging themselves at the adult amateur level. And we've seen a number of kids who have made a mark there. The one that comes to mind this year is a kid from Sheboygan named Mason Schmidtke, who played in both the Wisconsin State Amateur and the Wisconsin State Open. And I believe he's only a junior this year. And so, you know, that's a kid that really, you know, put it out there and made the cut at Westmore. I think he missed the cut up at Sheboygan, but had to qualify to get to the State Open. So there's a lot of great experiences that, you know, the WSGA, the WPGA give these kids, both in terms of, you know, the junior level in that programming, but then also the adult level with whether it be qualifiers, whether it be father sons, you know, father daughters, mother sons, whatever it might be. And these net partner tournaments are, you know, are also another opportunity to kind of, you know, pair up with a kid, you know, best ball championships, another one. So there's a lot there. And we try to, you know, look at some of the bigger events to kind of compare kids. And that'll be starting up again next week, our annual Wisconsin Junior Golf rankings here on Wisconsin.golf. Gary, last but not least, as we record our podcast this week on Thanksgiving Eve, a lot to be thankful about this year in 2021. This will be our last podcast of the calendar year. You know, what a year it's been. I mean, we talked before we started the podcast for you, my friend. You started the year in the hospital. Highlighted the year at the Ryder Cup, and you know, we're both still here to talk about this great year, which I think you can never take that for granted either. And I will always remember 2021. This was a recovery year for the game of golf and for life in general, but so many big moments. What will you remember most? And what are you thankful for here in 2021?
Yeah, Rob, I'm thankful for a lot. You know, having COVID and being hospitalized at the beginning of the year, I never, you know, I was just hoping to get out of the hospital at that point. I never would imagine that I would play more golf this year than I played since I was in high school, basically. So I'm just thankful I got to play all the golf I got to play this year, that that I'm healthy, and that I got to see some really cool things this year, Rob, with you, the Ryder Cup and the State Am and the State Open. And then some of the news with golf courses around the state. We've got some exciting things happening, not only with golf courses, but we still have championships coming, Rob. I'm grateful that the USGA is bringing championships to Wisconsin over the next 3 or 4 years at Erin Hills and Century World. And so there's always stuff to look forward to in golf, isn't there, Rob?
Yeah, there is. You know, and I'm thankful for these long friendships we have with a lot of the golfers that we cover. You know, they always bring a smiling face to the tournaments. You know, we've done a lot over the years with Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly, very thankful for their friendships. And you know, one of the, you know, the great moments of 2021 will be, you know, Jerry repeating as the champion at the AmFam Championship and seeing that big family picture behind the 18th green with Jerry taking his mom's, you know, scooter into the front of it and then hopping off and getting into the picture. You know, those are fun moments. And, you know, and then to see, you know, the whole Stricker family at the Ryder Cup and, you know, and what that meant, you know, for them to be able to pull that off in the way that it did, in the way that he did with, in terms of sticking to his, you know, his beliefs that the team he selected was a good one, and it was historic. And so those are huge. But then, you know, right down to the junior levels and some of these kids that, you know, where a WIA state championship is their Ryder Cup. You know, I those are fun moments, and to see, especially in team golf, where you know, the kids get to celebrate not only what they do individually, but what they're able to do with some of their friends is kind of cool. And I think the biggest thing we can be thankful for is that we get to do this. And I think you know, thankful for John and Linda Hughes continuing to you know, give back to the game with you know, providing us a platform to write these stories and cover, you know, the game of golf in Wisconsin, because another million page views this year, my friend, and there's no lack of interest in this great game, which I think is why we see all these great courses being built, why we see all these great tournaments coming to the state, and why we see so much activity on the golf courses. Another great year for golf course owners around the state, and I'm sure they're thankful for that too.
Oh, that's very well said, Rob. Yeah, as many golf writer friends that I have who have lost jobs in the business, I'm very thankful that we have a platform, and it's a great one, and we both, I know, have so much fun covering golf people, courses, issues, trends in our state. And hopefully we can keep this thing going for a long time and get better and better as the years go on.
Well, absolutely. Well, Gary, have a happy Thanksgiving weekend. Have a great December run up to Christmas. And we'll get together to kind of recap the year and look ahead to 2022 when we next do Talking.Golf early in January.
Perfect, Rob. Thanks.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, I am Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is that it is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's right. It's the holiday season, folks. Ironjoc.com for all your gift-giving needs. For Gary, I'm Rob. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. We'll talk golf again in 2022.